Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we'll do an Oscar recap. We'll also take some calls as well. First, I'll tell you about 1-800-FLOWERS, whether it's your mom, stepmom, or strong mom figure in your life. This Mother's Day, celebrate the amazing women in your life with 1-800-FLOWERS.com. Right now, 1-800-FLOWERS is offering 24 multicolored roses plus a free vase for just $34.99. These things are beautiful. Got them a few weeks ago, and they're still going strong. All roses from 1-800-FLOWERS are picked at the peak and cared for every step of the way, shipped fresh to ensure lasting beauty. Pick an early delivery date so your bouquet will arrive in time. 24 multicolored roses plus a vase, free vase, just $34.99. Prices will be going up, so order before Friday today. Right, Dawson?
Don't put this off. Order today from the official florist of Mother's Day, 1-800-FLOWERS.com, to order 24 multicolored roses plus a free vase for $34.99. Go to 1-800-FLOWERS.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Adam. That's 1-800-FLOWERS.com, code Adam.
The world of true crime is seductive.
We're detached from the reality of horrific stories happening in strangers' lives.
And we feel safe when we listen, because we never think it will happen to us until it does.
I've seen some of the most beautiful homes on Long Island, and I've seen the worst in Joel Rifkin.
In 1989, I was an eyewitness to the execution of Ted Bundy.
I'm Tara Newell, and I killed Dirty John.
I'm Jim Jones Jr. I was raised in the Jones family. There was 300 bodies under the 500. Everyone was dead.
For people that are so quick to tell me to get over it, he slit my brother's throat.
I'm Jack Vanek.
I'm Billy Jensen.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. And we are The First Degree. And every week, we're talking murders, serial killers, and cults. All told through the eyes of a guest who's one degree away from the story itself.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, options trader and CNBC analyst, John Najarian. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he didn't write for the Oscars this year, so it's safe to assume that his mom watched the whole show. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
I'm going to bust you up, sucker.
All right. We'll have our Oscar recap. Oof, I have thoughts. I pulled some of my old jokes from the couple of years I wrote as well, just to contrast.
Where were those?
Yeah. They were in Matt's computer the whole time.
Old jokes, new jokes, any jokes.
Any jokes. All right. First, a weird thought that just popped in my head when I was taking a walk. You know, we talk about the words that are good and words are bad, like garnish. You know what I mean? Like garnishing your wages. Right. That's a very bad day.
Indeed. But a delightful piece of parsley.
Yeah, or a slice of orange by the side of the omelet. That's a good thing. I think I may have come up with the leader in the pack of the words with
range.
Okay. Most range. In terms of, like, you know, like when you think about your kids, you go, well, garnish, how would that go? And you'd go, well, I don't know. Are we garnishing wages? Are we garnishing omelets here? Right. You know, this is in terms of what you'd wish for your kids, a lot of range here. Conviction.
Oh, boy.
Because we all want kids with conviction,
courage,
right?
Conviction. Stands
by.
Yeah, moxie.
Moxie. I like the cut of your jib, son. Mm-hmm. You got a little something called conviction versus Chauvin.
Right. He caught a conviction.
Yeah, man. That would be a tough coin to toss when it came.
A lot of stakes.
I don't think I would roll those dice.
I would not roll. I'd rather just have a willow that just blew in the wind never saw the inside of a prison
never
cell.
Never took a stand.
Never took a stand.
Never took the stand.
but never took the stand. That is exactly right. So I don't know if we can do better than conviction.
I don't think so.
We have also our Oscar recap. We also have Rich Man, Poor Man that have been building up a little bit.
Oh.
All right. So a couple things. First things first. They do this thing where they go, we have a hostless Oscar. We will have no host. But then you watch the Oscars and someone walks out there to start the show, give their opening comments.
Yeah. They have de facto hosting.
Right.
It's a la carte.
Yeah.
And then so Regina King did her thing. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, I said to Max Spada, how long was she out on stage presiding? Mm-hmm. Now, I know she's not doing a monologue. She's talking about people, talking about subjects. She's doing this and throwing it to best writing, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And she's out there at the top a total of 12 minutes. Which
sounds like
is
a host to me.
Brian knows from doing stand-up. Mm-hmm. That's a long time to be out,
feels like fucking forever.
Out on stage. Yeah. What do you think the audience is saying?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Dog ears,
that's
baby.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So Regina's out there for 12 minutes. I said, what were Kimmel's times? Because he went out. And then he would throw it to a celebrity and they would do the first category.
14 minutes.
He did, was it 8.5 and 10.5?
Really?
8:50 and 10:50.
Oh, wow. So he didn't technically host
I'm
then.
I'm surprised.
If she didn't host.
Yeah, so when we go, we're not having a host. We are de facto having a host. I mean, it's not like a computer is rolling out there. We have a human being who's out there doing it. I would argue having one with a sense of humor would be kind of awesome.
Or one who does hosting.
Or one who does hosting, yes.
Question, tinfoil hat theory. Do you think in order to get these people to do the a la carte de facto hosting, they had to say, don't worry, you're not the host, because everybody who says they're going to be the host goes down in a ball of flames with cancel culture?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So we go, we won't label you a host,
right.
So we won't have to look into every tweet you've ever sent.
And we won't even know you're hosting until the show goes on.
Right. It's basically what spoken word is to stand up. If we say Henry Rollins, go up there and do spoken word, it's all comedy. It's really, it's tons of funny stories, but you're not saddled with stand up.
Right.
Right. So I think there's an element of that. All right.
My prediction, host next year.
I don't know what the ratings were.
I do.
I just couldn't imagine.
Would you like to know?
It's also funny when the host gets out there and after 45 seconds goes, I know you're all reaching for your remote right now. It's like, well, first things first, I wasn't reaching for my remote. I had it in the prone position.
I pressed one.
That's right.
I'm going to have a
chance. Yeah.
Do you want some numbers, Crunch?
I'd be curious, yes.
So they were calling this a staggering low, Variety.com, per Nielsen Live Plus same day preliminary national numbers. So this is, fresh off the presses here. An average of 9.85 million viewers tuned in. That's 58.3% or 13.75 million viewer drop off from last year. The Academy's third host.
And last year was hostless as well.
Last couple of years.
Right.
This was it scored a 1.9 rating among adults 18 to 49, and that's a 64% dip from last year.
So I'd also be curious, maybe Max Batikmine, when the dip from the last time they had the host was. But
it's been a steady decline.
Years, so yeah. I think they're ruining their franchise.
This is precipitous, but it's been ticking down.
Right. So are they going to right the ship? Are they going to go, we're kicking it old school. We're going back to where, first off, wouldn't everyone be happy about that? I mean, even the woke in the crowd, wouldn't they be happy about that?
Yes. You and I had the same thought about this, which is, I think this is time for a reset. Like the Oscars, I love them. They're still the Oscars to me, but this was a low. This was maybe one of the worst shows of my lifetime.
Brian calls the Oscars his Super Bowl.
Not that far off.
And also Frances McDormand walking out like a cardigan that Judd Nelson would have worn.
That is her brand now.
Back in the day with a tunic under it. It doesn't say pomp and circumstance.
No. I agree. In as much as they had to do something different, the Union Station, the fewer people, they just didn't invite. It wasn't like an A-list star-studded affair where you invited Nicole Kidman and Jack Nicholson.
People were sitting in booths.
Yeah, you invited the nominees.
I
and
was
that's it.
Having trouble recognizing most of the people
you
in the booth.
Because you forget that you invite just the glitterati every year. Meryl Streep's there every year, whether she's nominated or not. She usually is, but she's there every year. And they just didn't have that this year. They had Frances McDormand because she was up for an Oscar, and they had whoever. But they also reflected the sort of button. Is button down the right term? Less, more casual. You know what I mean? Like the McDormand's wearing the, you know, the
right. But she went full Kurt Cobain.
But there were plenty of dudes who were just wearing open, you know, shirts with a coat. As much as they had to change it up, I guess I kind of like the Golden Globes ish aspect of it. But it's time to get back to the spectacle.
Hold on. Yeah. I said Judd Nelson cardigan. I meant Judd Hirsch cardigan. That makes more sense. Although Judd Nelson's getting into cardigan age, I would say. Yeah.
Did you guys know? I'm sure Brian did that. That Steven Soderbergh was one of the producers, which might put some stuff in context. Like, I think he's taking credit, or they're giving him credit for the long walk, the tight shot of Regina King from the lobby to the stage. And that was supposed to be sort of interesting.
I liked a lot of the changes in as much as they had to do something different this year. I'm hoping they get back to the spectacle of the host and the glitz and the
Jack Nicholson
and the A-list. And Jackson was way out, unfortunately. But you know what I'm saying? Everything. Everything makes the Oscars. The decision to have Best Picture not be the last award of the night, I was losing my mind. I'm like, did we lose the recording? Miss Best Actor and Best Actress?
The show went out with such a fizzle.
Oh,
really hard to watch.
Such a bad decision.
And I have that clip, too.
What a bunch of donkeys.
Why? When? Why? And what was that? And what do you get from that?
I read the theory. The theory was that they were hedging their bets on Chadwick Boseman winning posthumously.
He was a big favorite.
And that would have been a big sort of, you know, he died and it's this person of color and it's going to be this big rallying moment at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. They hedged their bets. It was Anthony Hopkins who didn't show up Joaquin Phoenix who didn't want to be there.
Because they wouldn't allow Hopkins to zoom in from Wales. Like if he wanted to be in the UK.
Why not?
I don't know. He's a nominee legend.
And that was how they ended the show. He can't be here tonight. Bye.
Oh, God. It was such a bad decision.
Well,
are two upsets, by the way, for actor and actress.
We have the opening, the very opening of Regina King that I told Max Spada to pull, or maybe Gina did. We'll play that for a second so you guys can hear what we're talking about. Max Spada's queuing up over there.
Sorry, just give me 1 second. It was cut a little bit too short.
All right. Well, you want some time?
Yeah, just a couple of seconds.
Who cut it too short?
Yeah. Well, because, I told you that Gina had it ready as well.
Oh, okay.
Her version shorter than what I think you wanted, so we cut it to Gina's specs.
Then we'll look at Gina's specs.
Mine was Regina folk, and you know, it wasn't that long at that moment, focusing on the political atmosphere of the time. That's what she was focusing on.
All right, well, we'll play that, and we'll see what happens. Go ahead, Max Spada.
I'll buy you a few seconds. I like that they didn't play anyone off. That was a nice tradition that they did.
You could have read the phone book
granted,
last night.
There were some wordy speeches,
but
it bothers me a lot when they play someone off.
Speaking
that's their moment.
Playing off. Well, first off, the thing was short, right? I mean, it didn't seem
overall?
To go. Yeah,
is it under 2 hours?
Overall, it was shorter than normal.
It's always,
I didn't need the extension of my DVR, which I normally need.
It's always 3 hours.
Right. I thought it was 2 hours.
Try to clip it.
No, it's always the last few years. It's been scheduled for three, and it's always gone over.
Right,
just under.
Yeah, I thought it was like 2.5, but anyway, we'll play the opening. Sorry.
Third Oscars. Oh, Jesus, I made it. It has been quite a year, and we are still smack dab in the middle of it. We are mourning the loss of so many, and I have to be honest, if things had gone differently this past week in Minneapolis, I might have traded in my heels for marching boots. Now, I know that a lot of you people at home want to reach for your remote when you feel like Hollywood is preaching to you.
Mm-hmm.
But as a mother of a black son, I know the fear that so many live with, and no amount of fame or fortune.
We did the math on the
that.
Black,
this
by
is
the
top
way.
Of the show.
It's the top, it's the top of the show.
This?
Tonight.
All right, we got it. Yeah, that's the top. That's out of the fucking yep. gate. We got to talk about George Floyd and not being here and being a mother of a black child. And
what are the odds that if things did not go that way, you would have skipped the Oscars and put on marching boots and taken to the street?
I feel like New Balance are probably better out on the street than the steel toe and the steel shank. But yeah, so thank you for bumming everyone out at the very top of the show and basically admitting this is not what America wants to hear, but I'm going to deliver it anyway because I'm a mother. I. Speaking of playing off, kind of miss the orchestra, too.
In general.
I want the spectacle back.
I want the spectacle.
Year.
I want everything back.
But did you, in as much as they had to do something different, do you like the DJ aspect? I thought it was kind of fun and interesting.
It was kind of fun that could have been sprinkled in and out. But I like the orchestra. The other thing I like is I felt kind of bad for the in memoriam people because I like the sweeping orchestra for that, not the DJ.
Oh, the breakneck pace?
Yeah, it felt rushed. In a night where you didn't have to rush, that felt rushed.
We have the top of the in memoriam as well, which also they worked a sort of political Black Lives Matter thing into that, which is another thing, which is, you know, if my grandfather was a great cinematographer, I just want to see that. Sure. I don't want the outside world and what's the Ferguson effect like being woven into the in memoriam. You're kind of watering it down because they did this thing where it's like, oh, here are the people we lost from the industry, but also we lost some other people because of suppression and white supremacy or whatever. And it's like, don't muddy it. Yeah. Just do it. All right, we'll play it.
Vernon Jordan said, "We exist temporarily through what we take, but we live forever through what we give." In 2020, we were united by loss.
Who was this?
As of April 25th, 2021,
Angela Bassett?
There were recorded over 3 million souls lost around the world to COVID alone.
In the industry?
Considering the enormity of our collective loss and the often incomprehensible times we're living through, we wish to also acknowledge those precious lives lost to the violence of inequality, injustice, hatred, racism, and poverty.
Anyway, to here's your dead white grandpa.
To all of those who left our lives too soon, we cherish the moments that we had the honor of having with you.
Playing the back row.
Tonight, we want to celebrate the artists who gave us permission to dream.
Well, how about just doing that then?
The technical pioneers and innovators who expanded our experience of movie love.
It gets going good here.
Let us as one community say,
that's Angela Bassett.
It is.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
You will remain.
That's good.
As we remember you in our hearts always.
Wow. I'm bringing my closed up, Mrs. DeMille.
All right. Anyway, yeah, they kind of powered through it. But also the civics lesson at the beginning of the in memoriam, because now you've just lumped in the world's COVID victims.
A lot of people died.
With producers.
Best sound producers.
And editors.
Yeah.
It's just, again, grafting on this kind of weird wokeism to everything. What I'm saying is two things can exist at once. We can have people who've died of COVID, which I think we're all pretty aware of.
Yes.
And then we can pay homage to those of us in our industry who have died, which is why we're doing this award show. So Just fucking stick to that, would you, nut jobs?
Because would anyone have a legitimate beef with, like, oh, in Morian, what about all the millions of people? It's like, yeah, we're honoring people in our industry, as we do every year, who died. It's a tragedy that many people died of COVID, but that's not what this is.
I would argue that any year, forget about COVID, there's ethnic cleansing going on, and everything is going on who died. We're not here to honor everyone who's ever died.
And like you said, we all accept that.
I think so.
Every year in the Oscars.
I think it's understood.
Like, what about all the other people who died?
Oh, okay. Ooh, Adam Schlesinger, that thing you do, the pop song was snubbed. Oh, I never thought about that. No. Yeah, he actually died of COVID. Why did he get... So
was he nominated for an Oscar?
No, but he was forgotten in the In Memoriam. So a lot of people were upset that he wasn't mentioned in the In Memoriam, even though he actually did die of COVID complications.
And has a very direct route to movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there's that. There's also, it's funny that it was in Union Station out here in Los Angeles, and they had to sweep out all the homeless people in order to pull this thing off.
Rich man, poor man, hanging at Union Station tonight.
Yes. I have. Now, so I said to Matt, Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, I said, well, let's just find some of the jokes I wrote for Kimmel in 17. And I just picked one year. The problem is there's 25 pages of jokes. And I said, let's print out a page of the ones we put a star by. And he said, we didn't do that. Oh. So I said, well, just pick 4 or 5 pages that you think were funny. Although the problem is these are all random jokes. So I would say way less than 5% of these even made the air, but I just picked out a few just for fun. So I'll give you the subject. This is the first Oscars 90 years old, as it was back in 2017. So what you do is you'd get a heading. You'd go, they'd email you, first Oscars, 90 years old, write some jokes. So here's some jokes. A lot of people don't know the first Academy Awards was actually hosted by Ryan Seacrest. He's like that bartender from The Shining. Thank you, Brian. In the 90 years of the Academy Awards, over 3,000 Oscars have been given out. They say by 2041, there'll be more Americans with Oscars than without. In the 90 years, over 3,000 Oscars have been handed out. In contrast, in over 100 years, Nathan's Coney Island hot dog eating competition has only handed out 99 golden mustard medallions, making that far more rarefied air.
Waiting for the punch on that one.
Well, actually, I cut myself short. Okay. This is the 90th anniversary of the first Academy Awards. That means if you were 12 when you attended the first Oscar ceremony, that would make you dead. Here's Jimmy hosting for the second time. There won't be a third time. Next year, I'll be watching from the same place many of you will be watching. A rehab facility outside of Phoenix. This will be my last time hosting. I won't do 3 in a row. It's just so time consuming and requires so much. What is that word I'm looking for? Preparation. I feel like MacArthur returning to the Philippines, except for this Filipino island is filled with people who have designer pet totes and jewelry endorsement deals. It's very turbulent, politically charged year. Tonight, it's time to take a break from all the infighting and rhetoric, and that's why I pledge to keep my affordable health care lecture to under 15 minutes. Let's see. We got some Harvey Weinstein jokes.
Oh, timely.
Lady Bird jokes.
Lady Bird.
I want to hear the Weinstein jokes.
Let's see. I got 2 Weinstein jokes here. I have no idea what they are. Weinstein was just kicked out of the Academy. The only other guy in history to get the boot is Carmine Cardini, true story, by the way, for lending out screeners. Picture him at the same bus stop with Harvey Weinstein. You got thrown out of the Academy? I got thrown out of the Academy, too. I lent a copy of Willow to my granddaughter. What did you do?
It's good.
Weinstein and Cardini kicked out of the Academy. It would be like if the only two people in prison were the Unabomber and a guy who tampered with a smoke detector on an airplane bathroom. We got Churchill.
Oh.
We got Lady Bird jokes. Oh, there's a bunch of Wonder Woman jokes. Want some Wonder Woman jokes? Let's see. A lot of people don't know Chris Pine is actually crashed the plane. I'm sorry. A lot of people don't know Chris Pine actually crashed a plane at the beginning of Wonder Woman. He's pretty modest about that stunt. He gives all the credit to his technical consultant, Harrison Ford. With my luck, if I crashed my biplane, it would have been on an island. Oh, sorry. It would be on the island of Dr. Moreau or Kong, Skull Island. let's see.
That was all the delivery.
Yeah. The bad news is that he crashed his plane. The good news is, I guess these are Harrison Ford jokes. Oh, maybe not. I don't know. Let's see. I'll try it again. The bad news is that he crashed his plane. The good news is it's on an island of beautiful Amazons. Tom Hanks crashed his plane twice, and all he got was a polluted river and a volleyball. Yeah, it took a while to get there, but I think the essence is there. Yeah. Captain Steve Trevor, the second happiest pilot to ever crash land on Amazon Island. The first, Amelia Earhart. He wouldn't have done it, but it's kind of a funny joke. Let's see. I have mixed feelings about the lasso of truth. On one hand, I could tell my grandkids about the experience. On the other hand, what if they asked if I ever stepped out of the shower, stood in front of a full-length mirror, and sung Ariana Grande song into a wooden brush? That took a long
Sometimes
way to go.
Sometimes jokes don't work.
Well, Jimmy would have worked these out.
Yeah,
I'm reading them cold. Come on. I was a big fan of the Wonder Woman series growing up. I watched a show. I had a lunch pail. And if my sister's watching, I didn't have the nightgown. They're called underoos. Not bad. Gal Gadot. Am I saying that right, Gina?
Gadot.
Gal Gadot. I love that name. Gal. But you made a mistake. You married someone named Euron, which is true, I guess. Mm-hmm. You should have married Guy Ritchie. Your whole life could have been an extended dance version of Who's On First.
That's good.
Who's coming to the party? Gal and Guy. Yeah, yeah, I'm
which
asking
ones?
For names here. All right, you have to explain it. True story. Gal's husband, Euron's brother, name is Guy. Oh, I forgot about that. Gal, you missed it by that much. You could have married the brother and had twins and named them You and Me. All right, let's see. Historic nominations. New envelope procedures. I have no fucking idea what new envelope procedures.
Well, because of La La Land. Fucked up La La Land and Moonlight, right?
This would happen the second year.
But this was his first year.
No.
Oh, he may have printed, maybe Matt printed stuff from the second year.
Yeah, because you already had a joke that said this will be my last time. Or
I was telling him pull shit from 2017. I just thought the jokes were funnier, but I got 18. Okay. What is society? This is new envelope procedures. What is society? We have quadrupled redundancy when it comes to award shows. But if you want to send an entire state into panic, it just takes one fat guy in a Hawaiian shirt. Oh, that was the...
Oh, the Hawaii thing?
Yeah, see? Oh. We forget.
Yeah.
How soon we... Remember he said the...
What was the fucker in the Hawaiian
show? See, the guy in Hawaii said a tsunami...
Everyone got an alert on their phone.
Yeah. I had friends who were out there.
Oh, that's right.
Crazy.
Historic nominations. let's see. Oh, okay. Here's historic nominations. We have successfully diversified the once white, heterosexual, male-dominated Oscars. Next, all of society. And then, the ultimate challenge, Comic-Con. Not a bad joke.
That's good.
With all the diversity, we're going to have a hard time making a case for us to... call us race. Nah, he's never going to do that. Let's see. I love it. All the colors of the rainbow, like a crayon box, if the crayons were gay.
It's going in on.
That's the standout winner. That's great. That's real good.
Well, I thought of this 10 minutes before the show, so maybe tomorrow we'll pull some from 17 and whittle down to five good ones. I like that crayon joke. All right. Let's see. Any more Oscar thoughts, Gina?
Yeah,
Bald?
I could show you a couple clips if we just want to do those now instead of later. So it sounds like, you know, you got the gist of everything, but there were a couple highlights that people are talking about, not talking about. It wasn't a ton to talk about this year, but one of the clips was that was getting some attention was Frances McDormand going full Frances McDormand and howling like a wolf in the middle of one of the acceptance speeches. There is a reason for that, by the way.
She loved wolf walkers?
Yes. So this is the clip, and I'll tell you why she did it.
We give this one to our wolf. Oh!
She's kind of like, Gina, she's like your lady. She's sort of like Matt McConaughey for the ladies.
Oh, I'm a fan. I love Frances McDormand.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah.
She's like McConaughey.
I agree.
She's talented. She's a good actor.
A little nutty.
Eccentric.
A little nutty. Does her own thing. Yeah. We kind of dig it.
She's a Cohen. Right?
Yeah, she's a Cohen.
Oh, what's not to love? So the reason she did that, apparently, is she was paying tribute to the film's sound designer, Michael Wolf Snyder, who took his life earlier this year. Oh. So it wasn't clear to the rest of us, but that's apparently what was going on. And of course, I mean, I guess we have to talk about it, the Glenn Close thing. Everybody else see that?
That was the closest they got to a joke.
It really is. So, okay, so Lil Ray Howery... He's a comedian actor. He was testing the audience on their knowledge of Oscar-nominated songs, and Glenn Close seemed to know everything about the song Debut. So it's like, I don't know, it's like a 60, 90-second clip, but this is the standout that everyone's talking about.
I'm a child. I think we got something in, I don't know, Questlove, just play it. Let me see.
Here we go.
I
said, come in, big girl, won't you rock my world, show that dance to me.
So I'm doing the back. Okay, you got some time. That's not fair to Glenn Close. She don't know nothing about
doing it. Wait a second. I know. That's the butt. Yeah, it's the butt. I know that. The butt was... Wait a second. It was a classic song by the great Washington,
Hold on a
D.C.
second. I just want to resurrect Charlton Heston and John Wayne. And go, what the fuck is going on here? What?
How many people do you think they ran that by before they got to Glenn Close? Or do you think that was first choice?
But
I have no idea.
Brian, I'm glad you said that. We should watch the rest. But that's what people are wondering. They said, well, that was a fun moment of just complete spontaneity. Of course it wasn't. And
my
that
mom
seems,
texted me. He's like, was that planned? I'm
that
like,
seems to be bumming a lot of people out. That this wasn't just, she just knows everything about Debut. So here's the rest of the clip.
Go-Go Band EU. So, yeah, and shout-outs to Sugar Bear and the Backyard Band and the whole DMV. So, anyway, I remember this. So, Spike Lee, you know, had it written for his brilliant movie, School Days.
Did not know that.
And my friends at the Oscars missed it, and it wasn't nominated, so it couldn't have won, which I think is...
She's swearing.
Oh.
I wasn't expecting that at all, that you knew the butt.
But wait, there's more.
It's dope and uncomfortable at the same time that you had on. But you know, do you know the dance though? Do you know how to do the butt? Quest, turn up. Come on, let's see. Let me see you do the butt.
She gets up. Good little shake. Little
dance,
butt shake.
Whitey. Dance.
Everybody loses it.
It's a stupid bet that Glenn Close pulled it off. She did the best she could.
So that was kind of the joke of the night that everyone was referring to.
One joke.
The joke. We talked about Regina King. Oh, Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm. Oscar winner Tyler Perry.
Yes, and Humanitarian Award recipient Tyler Perry. Adam, I think your past feelings about him may change after hearing a little clip from his speech.
All right. Now, to be fair, anyone who puts kids through college or pays off people's tabs over at the Target or whatever, I got plenty of love for those people. I'm fine. I'm fine.
It's the Madea franchise.
It's his work.
Right.
Yes, his Madea franchise is a black woman whose conflict resolution is reaching for a 44 that's in her purse and threatening to kill everyone around her who disagrees with her. I feel like that is not a great message for the community.
I get it. And he tends more toward the Bruce Springsteen Super Bowl commercial for some of his speech.
I want to take this Jean Herschel Humanitarian Award and dedicate it to anyone who wants to stand in the middle. No matter what's around the wall, stand in the middle, because that's where healing happens. That's where conversation happens. That's where change happens. It happens in the middle. So anyone who wants to meet me in the middle, to refuse hate, to refuse blanket judgment, and to help lift someone's feet off the ground, this one is for you, too.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't like the middle talk on both sides.
Right.
So that was, talk about the living in the Twilight Zone, talking about the middle is the most controversial thing you can do.
Quietly a funny sitcom.
The middle.
Yeah, nice. It's a funny sitcom.
And finally, we talked about it already, but if you want to really experience the discomfort with your eyes and ears, let's do the ending. So as Brian mentioned, the best picture was the third to last category.
Disgusting.
Then it was best actress, then it was best actor. Here is Joaquin Phoenix announcing best actor. Doesn't seem super happy to be there. Kind of mumbles. Questlove finishes, and it's over.
Oh. Keep in mind, before we play this, that the betting markets had Chadwick Boseman at like a -1200 favorite.
Oh,
some -1000, -1200
for the Chicago Seven.
No, for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that was
big
what,
upset.
That was what the production team, I think, was banking on as well.
And the Academy Award for actor goes to Anthony Hopkins, The Father.
This is uncomfortable.
The Academy congratulates Anthony Hopkins and accepts the Oscar on his behalf. Thank you.
Good night.
That's the show!
And then watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight at the 93rd Oscars.
That's it.
Oh, we're done.
How long? What was its runtime, Max Pat? I'm curious because
it was under three for sure.
I wasn't really paying.
Because there were no bits.
Yeah, it was. I felt it was like closer to 2:30 than it was.
While he looks that up, let me just say that unpopular opinion here, but from the one person apparently in the world who saw all the movies, Anthony Hopkins deserved that Oscar. Chadwick Boseman was very good, but maybe the fifth best person in that category. Riz Ahmed was amazing. There were some really good actors in there, and of course Boseman had the cachet if he died, and it's a tragedy. It was the best performance of his career, but I think the right person won.
All right,
let me hit a little Geico here. Do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and you can bundle up those policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to get your bundling going. And speaking of auto, let me give another great, or maybe not so great, road trip story sponsored by Geico. Yeah, I got an Oscars Geico road trip story.
Oh.
I told you guys that in 2018, I think it was the second Oscars, don't recall, I told Jimmy, who's, you know, we talked about Jimmy. Jimmy was concerned a day before the Oscars that I didn't have a tuxedo. he was calling me, wondering if I had my tuxedo.
Of all the things to worry about for the host of the Oscars.
Man, you just couldn't imagine hosting that, having to get through that monologue and all the last minute changes and everything. you know,
candy falling from the sky. Right. There's so much has to go right.
Well, you think, see, you find out 3 months out you're hosting the Oscars, and then you say, I've been in this position before, not with the Oscars, but you go, we're going to lock off this monologue 3 days before the Oscars. I'm going to really sit down, take some time with it, and really work it, maybe put it up on the Comedy Store, or whatever, work it out. And you're writing monologue jokes 10 minutes before the person walks out on stage. Like, and it just always works that way. So the fact that he was worried. And then he said, well, you know, change in my dressing room. And I drove out at, I don't know, 2 o'clock that day, parked in the underground parking, went in this dressing room, changed from my street clothes into the tuxedo. The wardrobe guy dutifully put everything in a bag with the big, big clothespin or the big diaper pin on it. Mm-hmm. Everything else, and then after going to the governor's ball and wanting to go home that evening in my tuxedo, I realized that my car keys were in my sweatpants with all my other clothes that I wore over there, got access to Jimmy's dressing room. I could, no one else, I was the only one who could get in because I still had my laminate. Now it's like 12:30, it's probably like 1:30 at night. Everyone's going home. And I came walking in and his entire dressing room had been cleaned out completely, except for a bottle of tequila. And I met Grizzly there, Scott Holmes. And I said, where is everything? And he said, in the trunk of Jimmy's town car. Oh. And he's over at the...
Vanity Fair?
Yeah, probably at the Vanity Fair party. So I said, well, give me a shot of tequila as long as we're sitting here. And then I sat there and had a couple shots of tequila. And then I ran Jimmy down, who's in the middle of the Vanity Fair party after hosting the Oscars, probably talking to Brad Pitt. Right. And I was like, can you go out to the trunk of your car? Can you get hold of your driver, who, of course, was like Svetlana and didn't speak good English? And could you find her and tell her that she's got to take the car back to the Oscars and to, like, meet me in the parking lot? It was all very, I don't know where she is. I said I'd text her when I was coming out. You know, you can't just park in front of the whatever. They go drop you off and go somewhere. So after 45 minutes of ruining Jimmy's Vanity Big Fair night. Party, she finally pulled up at like 2 in the morning, popped the trunk, found the keys, and made it home.
That's
so
friendship.
Yeah,
well, that ends well.
Designated driver, do not worry. The point is that was my road trip story, my Oscar road trip story. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. Geico makes it easy. All right, we will the Oscars runtime was 3 hours and 19 minutes. Oh,
shock. Made all those speeches.
That seems weird to me, Max Zapata.
What, I'm sorry.
It was 3 hours and 19 minutes?
Well, all the articles are saying 3 hour runtime, but then their Wikipedia is saying 3 hours and 19 minutes.
Was that with the after hours thing tacked on? That seems weird.
Or red carpet or something?
I TiVo'd it as well and remember it coming up pretty shy of the 3 hour mark. So
started at 5 and ended at like 7 something, I thought.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Wikipedia can be wrong, but that's the only place that has a definitive runtime on it.
Maybe if you look it up online or something, or YouTube or something like that.
I'll check the DVR.
Yeah, 3 hours and 19 feels weird, although they rolled right into this after hours thing with a couple guys I wasn't overly familiar with, which I thought was anticlimactic as well.
Yeah. I'm seeing it, let's see. Yeah, about 3:15, 3:16, but that's including commercials in the DVR.
Yeah, and ABC has it as 3 hours. No songs, no clips, no fun.
All right, Brian and I, these are things that make us go,
I know, and I've been burned by the hums many times.
The only thing I
can
think of is that maybe my DVR, the Oscars, quote-unquote, the Oscars, the performance, was set for 3.5 hours, and when it came up short, maybe that's where it came up short?
Maybe. I was just kind of scanning through it, so nothing definitive.
The DVR here was set for 4 hours, but I'm looking at the second Regina King makes her first step all the way to the credits, it's about 3:17.
Have Kaylin watch it start to finish right now.
Right, in slow motion.
Okay, yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Rich Man, Poor Man right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting, you want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam Gang, Big Pink, Bronx, New York, rich man, poor man, both live on an unpaved road.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, it's not only unpaved road, it's unpaved driveway, because I see a lot of those big sprawling manors with that crushed granite that's compacted for the long driveway versus, you know, dirt driveway.
Turn off the main road.
Coming undone, yes.
I have one that actually relates to that, so let me put it in right now. Yeah. Rich man, poor man, your street doesn't show up on Waze. You either live on like a private drive that just doesn't exist, or you live on some backwards country road that you dug yourself.
Do we have some that people tweeted us, Max Patter? Do I have?
You have them on the on you. You should
oh,
have
I a, got my a, breakdown a here. Sorry. Them. All right.
So at the very end of the sheets I gave you, there should be three new ones on there too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. What do you
Rich
got,
man.
Gina? Oh, sorry.
Poor man.
All right. Yes.
I have one that's – it might be a little bit of a stretch, but let's give it a try. Got famous from a charity event. So you're either hosting or it's like, please help little Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. I've been on both sides. That's me.
There's a few that are older ones that I like, and one that's kind of bizarre, but I like the bizarre ones. So you have – I always like this somebody asks where you are, and somebody says, I think he's in his trailer.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Sleeping with the maid, I like, because Schwarzenegger, or you're the schlub who's married to her.
Yeah.
This one is bizarre, but I like it. A strap holds down the hood of your car. So...
Wait,
you're driving a busted up Vega from the 70s,
sure.
And you got like
sense.
A tie down because the thing's all
one.
Fucked up. If you look at old Duesenbergs and old Cadillacs and old Rolls Royces from the 20s and the 30s, they had the leather, they had like a leather buckle.
Oh, so only you and Leno get this joke.
Only me and Leno would be like,
it's a good one, man.
Yeah, find like a Rolls or a Duesenberg or something from like, you know, the late 20s, early 30s. They had these. And by the way, going into like the 50s and stuff, they literally had a buckle and a leather strap. They kind of liked the coach work back then.
Ooh.
Like they liked that kind of stuff. All right. Let's see. I like this. When a friend borrows your car, you give them a long list of instructions of how to start it. So this is a letter. Remember back when you were poor, you're like, you got to jiggle the ignition
pump
and take
the gas once.
You'll flood it if you pump it twice. Okay. You jiggle the steering wheel and try to turn the key at the same time. Like there's a lot of rules. Right. And the e-brake doesn't work, so you got to leave it in. Or the starter doesn't work, so you got to park it on a hill so you can bump it. Let's see. Knows the price of aluminum.
That's good.
That's the day trader versus the guy walking around the shopping cart. New. This is true. Working until you die.
Because
I think the real rich guys do work.
They're humping it
until they die.
This is in the news a lot lately. Rich man, poor man, your life is greatly affected by the increase in minimum wage.
Oh, yeah.
You either make a minimum wage or you own a business, obviously.
Or many. Pays 29 Taco Bells.
Greatly affected. If you pay like one dude minimum wage, that's not going to make or break you. But
that's on our list somewhere. Let's see. So working until you die, getting fucked by your lawyer,
your defense lawyer,
not a middle class move.
Your
no middle
defender.
Class guy goes, I got fucked by my lawyer. That is your defense or the high price one. Lives in California.
Yeah. I think everyone's represented in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
Sadly, that's what we got.
I have one here I don't think we've done before, but I don't remember. Getting your hair cut at home.
Oh, yeah. Sounds familiar, but it's a good one. It's a classic, yeah. Especially, well, COVID kind of threw that one off.
That's
but,
true. Pre-2020.
Let's see. We got questions up here. Can you find an old picture with the strap on the hood, Maxipata? Oh, Dawson has one, Dawson.
This is kind of a I guess,
well,
an
improvement. Got to get a little tighter on that.
I see it, though. Yeah.
The Jaguar. Yeah, it's got the leather going over the top.
It's an improvement to one that we've kind of already had, but it's real life. Haley, who does our social media, fits into one end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Lived in a house next door to where B.B. King once lived.
Wow. Right. Because B.B. King, the rich man, and B.B. right. King living in a shack.
Yeah, she grew up. She lived in the house growing up where he grew up.
Oh, wow.
Right next door to where B.B. King grew up. And I said, ooh, nice place. And she looks at me like, are you crazy?
Where he grew
like,
up.
Oh, where he grew up.
Not where he
so,
made
yeah,
it.
Poor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's a good one.
That's strong.
Specific.
Let's see. We got some questions up there as well. Outlawing modified race cars. Remain eligible. All right. Let me talk to Jose from Pasadena. Jose?
How you doing, Adam?
Doing well. Hey, hi, Guy.
Hi, Guy. Hey, Paul Brian. Hey, Gina.
Hey.
Adam, I always had a question. You and I both grew up in the Valley right around the same time. You always talk about your storied high school football career.
Oh, well, you got to get me drunk and drag it out of me, but yeah, I hear you.
But I've always wondered, though, you always mentioned you guys were rotten students. How did you remain eligible to play if you had to keep your grades up above a C average? I don't think you've ever talked about that.
Yeah, I didn't have to. I didn't have to get above a C average. I had to have like a C minus something in order to play, as I recall.
It's public school, for God's sake.
Couldn't dip down into the D's. I was always kind of hovering around that margin. But I was always, again, the bar wasn't too high. I took like 3 ceramic classes. I was a ceramics major. By the time I got to the 11th grade, we'd cut out all the confounding classes like biology and algebra and stuff you want your 8th grader to know.
Right.
And it replaced it with high school math and science.
Yeah. Right.
You know, there's a
civics.
Yeah, right. There's a euphemistic title,
yes,
that is really just the dumb version of,
yes,
what the real class would be.
Science.
Words.
Yeah. Science. Yeah, so you just sit there and you're science and by the way, you're literally math.
Just
class.
Math.
Just called
and didn't,
math.
Didn't Ray miss like practically his entire like junior year or senior year? I remember you saying something like that too.
When Ray graduated, he out of a possible 500 days, he was absent maybe 366 or something. Had some sort of insane record. Well, let's not forget Ray and Chris did not play their senior year. So
it's
a big loss to the team.
Oh my God, we had so many guys just drop out between the junior and the senior year.
Just because, fuck it.
I'll just say one name. You could just imagine if this guy could play. Another guy dropped out. I'll give you 2 names. You tell me if you didn't think we could use them in the skilled position. Michael Odom and Melvin Royal.
Yeah.
Those are 2 guys you wanted handling the rock.
A couple guys you wanted running 9 routes.
And what people didn't understand is everyone played 2 ways back then. You played offense and defense. So when you lost Michael Odom, you lost a great running back and a great free safety. When you lost Melvin Royal, you lost a great flanker and a great cornerback. When you lost Chris Bohm, you lost a great tight end and a great outside linebacker. So it's starting to affect things on both sides of the ball. Once you get that number to about 5 or 6 dudes, that's tough.
It's a We Are Marshall situation without the crash.
Yeah, so I was able to carry on with a team that won one game the entire season.
Oh.
Yeah, without my friends. So
that's cool.
It was awesome.
No, thanks, Adam.
Yeah, thanks, Jose.
Thanks for the reminder.
Appreciate it, man. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's see. I was, I don't know. I haven't told this joke in a while, but it's still, you guys have heard it a million times, but it's still, I don't know why. It just always made me laugh. Not unclear if it was a joke, but last game we played, me and Vince DiGiacomo were both the captains. And Vince, let's see, he had crazy calves, ones that would rival Will Sasso's.
Oh, boy.
They literally could rival Will Sasso's calves.
That's huge.
And literally, it is. And Italian guy, not so bright. And we were out there, and it was the last game of the year, and we were captains, and the ref said, I'm gonna throw the coin up in the air, and you call it in the air. He pointed at Vince, 52. I was number 53. And threw it up in the air. Vince yelled heads. Ref caught it in his hand, opened his hand, and said, sorry, it's tails. And Vince, without missing a beat, said, I thought you were going to slap it on your hand and do that with it. Like, he'd factored that in.
Wow.
Straight face. Nobody laughed.
Mm-hmm. Nobody liked
it. He was sort of complaining a little bit. Like, hey, I'd factored this into the coin toss. And I guess I could head out to the Anawalt in North Hollywood and find out whether he was joking or not, because that's the last time I saw him. Yeah, like Dirty Harry.
Very weird side question. Mm. A million billion years ago on the old radio show, when somebody called in or for some reason you were talking about middle names and you said, you know, Lakers or, and I remember you saying, I always liked Giacomo. Is mm-hmm. that why? Is that where that name came from?
I think my dad had some relatives named Giacomo.
Oh, I buy that.
And it was good. It was. I always lamented the Adam and the Corolla part. If it was Giacomo Corolla, right. People know.
No confusion.
Everyone always wanted to know my ethnicity, right. Because they could never figure it out because the Adam screwed everyone up. All right. Let's see. We got a Candace Owens question here. We got a couple more. Robert Tulsa, 29.
Yeah. Hey, Ace.
Hi, guy.
Gina.
Hey.
Hey, I was wondering if you thought that Candace Owens gets any kind of, oh my goodness, I just forgot the word.
Affirmative action.
Yeah, affirmative action on the right, just like folks on the left get affirmative action from the left. As someone on the right, a lot of her ideas and stuff, they're not, there's nothing unique to them. It's kind of borderline, it's kind of, you know, baseline right wing stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. Everyone does. Who, when you find somebody who's normally, you know, I think everyone is looking to recruit everyone, and obviously the right doesn't have a lot of young black women under their tent. So if they have one that echoes their thoughts, then they probably get bumped up the food chain. They get bumped up the ladder. If you're just some, you know, 60-something-year-old senator from Arkansas saying, white guy, right, saying the exact same thing, nobody really takes much notice of you. You see it like, I don't know, Drew always says there's these TikTok videos of like these young black guys talking conservative and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, it's smart. If you're going to, you know, I always just kind of say, if there's an Italian food joint on every corner, open a Mexican food and get a little more business. And you don't have to have the best Mexican food. You just have to
have something new.
Have something new. So, yeah, I would say that.
Hey, Robert, can you just
see? We'll see what happens with Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, right.
I don't know how warmly she'll be embraced.
We shall see. Can you do me a quick favor? Can you just like count to five?
Robert. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I mean this as a compliment, so please take it in that spirit. If Mike Judge ever gets hoarse, we have a Hank Hill replacement.
Yeah.
Really well done.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Thanks, Robert.
Say liquid propane.
Say damn it, Bobby.
Yeah, say damn it, Bobby.
Damn it, Bobby.
Oh, whoa, whoa, hold on. Let's get it clean. Go ahead.
Damn it, Bobby.
Oh,
that's not,
okay.
That's not bad.
This has been brought up before, Robert?
No, I've got a... No, not at all.
Oh.
All right. It's a weird no. All right. Yeah. Let's do... can we do another Hank Hill sentence? Let's go, Bobby, sure. With some propane.
Propane accessories.
Yeah, exactly. Propane accessories.
Sorry, could you say that again? I've never actually seen... I've seen clips from the show. It was a little before my time.
Say, I sell propane and propane accessories.
I sell propane and propane accessories.
Now do it like you mean it, goddammit.
The moment into it.
I sell propane and propane accessories.
Now we're
I think
talking.
We can get there.
Yeah, I think we can get there. Thanks, Robert. Quit your job.
All right, thanks.
Move to Hollywood.
Yeah.
We'll do some demo tapes, all right?
All right, thanks.
Do you work around propane?
No. I'm actually a maintenance guy.
Mm-hmm. What do you maintain?
Yeah. It's a drug rehab center for women with little kids, but it can be a pretty depressing place to be.
Wow. That's got to be.
Yeah.
That has to be the most depressing thing. The drug rehab center is bad enough. The young ladies is tougher with little kids.
Yep. It's either really bad or really good, one or the other.
Yeah.
When they graduate.
Not a lot of sign.
Yeah, no. I got a lot of chicks kick the smack and are replacing it with sex.
That's right.
And enough daddy issues to go around
for
out
sure.
there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every one of them.
Yeah,
I've listened to a lot of the classic Loveline stuff, and it's, I mean, everything y'all talked about 20 years ago is stuff I see every day here.
A lot of acting out. A lot of sexual acting out. That's what you want.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Yeah.
I'm a big old fat guy, so I don't have to worry about any of that.
Oh, you're a big fat guy? But you understand, that would bring more shame to daddy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Lose the weight, chubby.
Robert, I'm sure you're perfect as you are.
Yeah, we're not going to fat shame you. All right.
What do you do there?
Now, do you have to, you know, is it get bizarre and grotesque? Like, do they get in tampon fights and stuff?
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
No, not usually, but we have a lot of plumbing issues to deal with because of those. And then we had somebody that was, storing them in their... Storing used tampons in their like trundle bed, and it's nasty stuff. And
what?
I hated to have to go there, but I knew it was fertile soil, Gina.
I don't get that one.
Yeah, it's bad stuff.
But I also don't get anyone who's never learned that
a lot
you can't
of weird
flush
contraband
tampon.
Hiding and like hollowing out paintings and like the art in the room, stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's depressing. All right, Robert, why don't you step up into the lucrative voiceover world versus cleaning out the main line from the maxi pads? I'd say it'd be quite a step toward the light for you, buddy.
Yeah. Hopefully, there's not a lot of that in Tulsa, but we're hoping to get out of here pretty soon.
All right. Good for you, man.
Yep. Have a good one.
I like Robert.
I like the guys who haven't seen their 30th birthday and already beaten down by life.
He sounded downtrodden.
He's not 30 yet. He's like, yeah, okay, when's this going to end? I got to get off this merry-go-round called life, right? Next thing I know, I'm going to be 31, and then what? Let's see. Casket Steve's got a question. Aaron, 37, Napa. EPA's new law outlawing modified race cars. What? What's going on, Aaron?
Yeah, well, first of all, what a fucking treat it is to hear GG and BB back in the studio after
Agreed.
A year. It's a little bit of delayed satisfaction hearing you guys in the studio. It's amazing.
Thanks, Aaron.
But back to my, I wondered if you had thoughts on the EPA is reinterpreting the Clean Air Act that would reverse its view on bona fide race cars and bona fide off-road vehicles that cannot be modified to... circumvent emission standards. FEMA is pushing against it with a RPM Act, the recognizing the protection of motorsports. And just wondering if you've heard about it or if you had any other thoughts on it.
I haven't heard about it. my feeling is they can pry my Porsche 935 out of my cold dead hands.
Come and take it, motherfucker.
Also, unless they're willing, to me, if they're not willing to address leaf blowers and the two-stroke motors that are pouring out all the black soot from mm-hmm. the non-catalytic convertilized lawnmower engines are strapped to the back of all these guys, if one of those things pollutes more than like a Ford F-150 does in its lifetime for using it for 20 minutes or something staggering, if they're not going to go after the leaf blowers and all the other two-stroke gardening shit, then fuck you, because it means you're not really interested in the problem. Yes.
Well, don't worry, because what they are going to try to do is outlaw installing and even producing any sort of turbo supercharger, microchip, or anything that would take any factory emissions setup and modify it in any way, even if that car, it will never be driven on public road again.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing. It's sort of like trying to think of like clean air when we talk about, I don't know, it's like airliners. Like, we got to clean up air. What are you going to do? There's no such thing as an electric plane. It's never going to work. How the battery's going to work. Like, focus on the handful of things we can focus on. Guys driving sand rails and dune buggies and stuff. I don't think that...
Are they the main polluter?
Well, I'll do the math. The main polluters are like China and India and Russia. And I don't think they have a bustling NASCAR circuit over there. I don't think those folks do a lot of off-roading.
Well, that is just for North American, right?
Yeah, I really don't think there's a whole lot of competitive racing going on in the three biggest polluters. So if they're the three biggest and there's not a lot of dune buggies over mm-hmm. there and NASCAR and NHRA, then maybe it's something else.
Yeah.
We'll work big to small.
However, you did just give me an idea. Granted, this would be a problem for night flights, but why, or maybe they are they incorporating more solar power into planes since we get that much, 36,000 feet closer to the sun? And they even talk about radiation and stuff. We're that much closer.
Yeah, I just don't think the panels can generate what they need.
Well, also the aerodynamic would probably, it would hurt the plane, I would imagine.
Oh, you mean strapping big solar panels?
Yeah, couldn't look like the beach house. But the thing, you know, jets, the electricity, you know how jets create electricity, like what their generators are?
Okay.
They're just smaller jet engines. Jet airplanes have a small jet engine that doesn't propel the plane, but just creates all the electricity. Yeah, if you kind of think about it, you get on a plane and everything's lit up and the air conditioning's mm-hmm. blowing and they're just sitting on the tarmac hooked up to the gangplank there for an hour. Where's that all coming from? It's coming from the smaller jet. Max Pata, look into that. I don't know if they've modified that. I don't know if it's still true or not, but I think commercial jet airliners produce their electricity from a small jet engine that produces the electricity. At least they used to. I don't know if they still do. All right, last call. Talk to Casket Steve from Cincinnati. Casket Steve?
Hey, everybody.
Hi, guy.
Glad you're all back in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I can't wait for more drops because that was one of my favorite parts. I know it's been 24 hours since you talked about Ozzy's death, but it's my job, so I'm always up for answering those questions related to that.
Yeah, we had a pretty sweet-looking casket, I got to say.
Yeah, I know you're a fan of caskets, but in a different way, in a different direction, I was watching that great movie Battleship yesterday, and they played that song Fortunate Son in it, like they do in all these war movies.
Yes.
And it drives me crazy because it's in every war movie, and I can't figure out the significance. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
I have this feeling that things, theatrically, and if you look at sitcoms from like the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, they just kind of begat themselves. Mm. So it's like this shows up in a few Vietnam movies.
That's the Vietnam song.
That's how we know.
And you watch it, and then somebody's writing a war movie, and they go, "Would be a good song to slug in here." And how about Katrina and the Waves? Well, we're on the ocean. Come on now, a little too on the nose. And what you don't realize is all the people that are writing the movies today were just influenced by the movies of the day. And they go, I got a good idea, but it's not a good idea. It's just something you saw.
No, I think you're right. But think about artists that create songs that are specifically for weddings and first dances, you know, like my daughter gave me butterfly kisses and all that stupid shit. So that they have that for war, because think about the opening to Fortunate Son. Some folks are born made to wave the flag. They're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays Hail to the Chief, they're pointing the cannons at you. I mean, this is a war song.
I think a song came out during the Vietnam War.
It had to have.
The Vietnam War is like the greatest thing that ever happened to the catalog of Creedence.
Yes.
I mean, it's just it's like ubiquitous. Run like you cannot make a song, you can't make a war movie without a Creedence song in it. All right.
And the Doors, too.
And the Doors, too. Thanks, Casket Steve. Generators or alternators are used to produce electricity, usually engine-driven, but may be powered by hydraulic motor or ram air turbine.
Okay.
Yeah. The problem with motor-driven is the motor has to be powered by something. So I think it's the ram air turbine. I think they have a little turbine that's used to be in the tail of some planes, the power of that. All right. Anyway, John Najarian is going to join us. He's a former NFL linebacker. He's going to tell us all about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and all the stuff nobody really understands.
Non-fungible tokens.
Yeah, but it strikes me, or at least I've heard from a few people, that with all the money that the government is printing and putting out into our society, that maybe this is a good alternative. And I also think with all the new taxes and capital gains stuff and stuff, people may somehow we can get around that with our cryptocurrency. So we'll talk to John Najarian. We'll bring John in a second. First, let me tell you about Liquid IV. Oh, man. When you push your body, you can feel run down. It's important to get proper vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV. I've been on this stuff for quite some time now, a few years now. Liquid IV, hydration multiplier, plus immune support. Maintain and strengthen your immune system. Like I said, before you work out, after you work out, but especially when you travel. I always take these things when you travel. Time zones, lack of sleep. Sometimes you have a cocktail on the plane. You want to recover. Cutting edge blend of vitamin C, zinc, and Wellmune in convenient single serving packets to help strengthen your immune system. Powered by cellular transport technology to enhance rapid absorption of water and the nutrients, 2 to 3 times more hydration than water alone. It's Liquid IV. Right, Dawson?
Get your Liquid IV's hydration multiplier plus immune support in bulk at Costco or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code ADAM at checkout. It's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code ADAM at liquidiv.com.
So we'll talk all about financial stuff, but also John, want to talk some NFL. Also went to high school with Prince.
Oh, my God. Put the coffee on. We're going to be here a while.
Says he was a good basketball player back in the day.
That's the word.
We'll do that with John right after this.